I heard that was good.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having us on. It's Tim Murphy with you, as always. And with me, as always, is Carson Case.
Yeah, back in our original headquarters today.
Right, we're recording in our original world headquarters. We're from I Heard That Was Good, obviously, as you probably already said. And we started thinking about some of our favorite, I don't know, rental experiences. I don't know, not necessarily the best movies we ever rented, but those ones that sort of stuck in our minds as far as, that renting that movie has stuck with me. And we talked a little bit ago about how it's just such a bummer these days, and Netflix is the thing, or the streaming services, because it used to be an experience. You'd go in and you'd look, at all the new releases, and you're like, well, I've never seen that movie before. There's only one copy, and probably because the movie you wanted to rent wasn't there anymore, so you'd have to get something else. That's the other thing. You never knew. It was the availability. It's like, well, okay, I'm trying to think of a really old popular movie that came out. Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. All right, can't rent that. So we got to look around for something else. And you'd pick up all the boxes and look behind them. Like, nah, read a little bit. Nah, I don't know about that. And then you'd find another one. And it is just such a lost experience these days. It's part of that communal movie going experience that just is gone by the wayside.
Well, and I still remember when you'd get a movie, and first world problems, when you'd get a movie from the rental store, you'd get home and you'd hit play, and somebody wasn't kind and forgot to rewind.
Oh, yeah. And the video store was supposed to do that,
yeah,
too.
But they didn't all the time. Yeah. And so you had to take like an extra 5 seconds to rewind. I'm going, and now that I look back, I'm going, first world problems.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But I also, like you were talking about this, I remember the very last thing that I ever rented from a Blockbuster.
What was that?
It was Entourage, all the seasons.
Oh, really?
On DVD. I was dating a girl at the time, and she wanted to, it was like coming up to be the last season, and yeah. We kind of got into Entourage, like the second to last season, and we were like, we should go back and catch up. And so at the time, there's no Netflix, there's nothing like that. Mm-hmm. So we went and rented them all.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I remember watching it. That's kind of where I probably started, because they were available on demand. So that's how I watched. That's how I caught up on the seasons of that, like The Sopranos and stuff like that. Do you remember the last thing you rented on VHS?
No. I do remember renting movies like Aladdin. I remember renting as a kid.
And the big clamshells. All those Disney movies came in those huge, like it took like a whole landfill of plastic to make these clamshell cases.
Yeah, I remember that. I also remember renting Jumanji and that as a kid. So
those are great ones. And I started thinking about the VHS, because by the time DVD came around, I don't know, I think I was buying, I did rent a lot of DVDs. I don't know, but VHS for some reason stuck in my mind. So most of these, I think, were rented.
That was around for the majority of our childhood. So.
Yeah. Yeah. By the time DVD came around, I would venture to say rental places were already kind of on the decline.
Do you remember when they rent out the laser discs?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You could rent VCRs and laser discs, and even like Nintendo or Super Nintendo or N64 in some places. They'd rent out the actual player to you if you didn't have it. For just a little bit more, like 15 or 20 bucks, a night or a week. But so the Blockbuster, one of the last in the nation, is closing up there in Corinth. That's why Just Us Geeks are talking about it. Do you remember that we used to stop all the time on our way to New Orleans? We'd stop in Macomb, Mississippi.
Yep.
And there was a Blockbuster there for the longest time.
That actually
closed a while back.
And I didn't know if you were going to throw this in your experiences, but that's one of the last Blockbuster experiences, because it was going out of business.
Yeah, they were selling them all the DVDs in the parking lot. And I didn't find anything I wanted. Normally I would. I loved, like, I still have a lot of DVDs and CDs, and VHS and stuff like that has previously viewed, $12.99, $7.99, and when they had the buy two, get one free sales on those, man, I loved them.
Now, there is a Blockbuster, and I don't know if you notice this, like when you're going to the
Lakeland,
Yeah, there is like an old building that's just sitting there.
That blue and yellow.
When you were talking about that, I was like, I almost want to go take a picture of it and like tweet it to Just Us Geeks.
Yeah, because it's obviously not there anymore, right? It's closed,
No,
right?
Yeah, it's closed.
I thought so. I was like, if that's open, I'm going. But here's some of my favorite rentals over the years of when I go rent movies. Number one, the first one I thought of basically was Rover Dangerfield. I think I mentioned this on our podcast before. It's Rodney Dangerfield, and he plays a dog. And it was really, as a kid, my first, it's an animated movie, of course, my first introduction to Rodney Dangerfield. Like, Rodney Dangerfield to me was not a groundbreaking comedian or Mr., Showroom in Vegas or whatever. He was a cartoon dog in this cartoon movie. It's about a dog who lives in Vegas, Rover Dangerfield does, and then he witnesses a crime, and the boyfriend tries to kill Rover Dangerfield, that committed the crime. And anyway, like he's, I'm trying to explain this crazy plot, but at any rate, he ends up on a farm. So it's a very fish out of water story, and he starts fitting in with the family. And, but it's always kind of funny because obviously Rover's a talking dog, but the humans don't understand him. Only other dogs do and other animals.
And, which is the case in life.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly, with most talking dogs. Yeah. But the boyfriend still tries to kill Rover Dangerfield because he witnessed a crime. Like, how is he going to tell? He can't tell his human anything. So I really don't, it didn't make much sense, but it was a kid's movie and it was dumb. And I rented it probably every time my parents left me with a babysitter. It's like, yeah, I don't know why we didn't own it. We probably did end up recording it. Because you get two VCRs.
Oh,
you
know, yeah,
you hook up two
and
VCRs together.
And then it would mess
together.
Up the rental one.
Yeah, sometimes. Or they started installing like the anti-piracy thing where it would like go in and out. It could tell it was being recorded somehow. And so it had like the anti-piracy deal. Another one I remembered. Okay, so there was in Virginia where I was from, there was a place called Movie Gallery. That's what I liked, the off-brand.
Yeah, because I was going to say Movie places. Gallery. There used to be one right by where I used to live. And it closed, I think, 2 years ago.
It might not have even been the same. I don't think it was a franchise. Maybe it was, because Movie Gallery became Movie Scene, and then there was like even a place called Movies, which I loved. It had a cow mascot, and Movies, of course, was spelled with two
O's. Movies.
Yeah. But they actually it was all year round, but on Tuesdays, you could rent two floor movies for 99 cents. Two movies for 99 cents, and you got to keep them for a week. So my friends and I would all go, and we'd all rent two movies. We'd come home with like 10 VHS movies of just the worst movies you've ever seen. Like, we'd just go, like, stuff you'd see on Mystery Science Theater 3000 or the Riff Tracks would do or something like that. Just the worst movies ever. And two of those that stuck out of my mind are Ice Pirates, which if there's a member of Just Us Geeks that has not seen, if none of them have never seen Ice Pirates, I'll be very surprised. It had Robert Urich, and it's like an outer space kind of thing. It was probably like a ripoff of Dune, like, oh, instead of spice or whatever, how about ice? Oh, yeah, Spice Pirates, Ice Pirates. There you go. It makes total sense. And then Megaforce, starring Barry Bostwick, who I knew at the time as the mayor on Spin City. You kind of had
I think I remember that being on TV at one point.
Okay.
But I don't remember watching all of it.
Maybe it was a TV movie that they put on video.
I don't know if it was that. I think I just remember it being on, you know, like when HBO or Showtime or someone
just
like that would just
random,
play these crappy movies like late at night. I think I remember that being on.
Megaforce, the best way I've heard it described is, first of all, it looks like it's filmed, like the climactic battle looks like it's filmed like behind a Walmart and they like tip over a Jeep and like that's the most amazing stunt in the whole movie. But it looks like someone made a movie, a G.I. Joe movie, but then couldn't get the rights to G.I. Joe. And so they're like, all right, well, we'll still give all the characters like funny, cool code names, and it'll have like a little bit of sense of humor. Looks like it was supposed to be a G.I. Joe movie that they just couldn't afford to call G.I. Joe. So they called it Megaforce, and Barry Bostwick, the mayor from Spin City and obviously, you know, Rocky Horror Picture Show and stuff like that, he's in it. And it's absolutely awful. So that's another time. That's another like 2 for 99 cent deal for you there. The Rescue. I meant to look up when this movie came out. Did you ever see this movie?
I don't know what you're talking about here.
It's about a group of kids whose dads are taken prisoner during the Korean War. I feel like they could remake this movie because Korea is back in the news.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I don't think it's Vietnam. I think it's Korea. They're Asian.
Not the rescuers.
No, the rescue. And so anyway, the government's like, we got to leave him there. It's too risky to go in and try to recapture these POWs. So we're going to leave him there, I guess, until the war is over. Well, the kids take charge and they go on a rescue mission. And I love this movie as a kid. I think my sister introduced me to it.
August 5th, 1988.
So it's from 88. And a Dylan is in it. And I think Eric Stoltz is in it. And
Kevin Dillon.
Yeah, Kevin Dillon. I knew Kevin.
Mark Price is in it.
Mark Price has like he played the nerd on like a bunch of stuff like Family Matters and stuff like that. Isn't Eric Stoltz in it? The redhead? I thought he was. Anyway.
Are you thinking of Ned Vaughn?
Yeah, I guess I was. I always thought that was Eric Stoltz. Huh, interesting.
No, according to this, it's Ned Vaughn.
I think Tom Skerritt's in it. Is he in it? Anyway, I didn't do too much research, obviously. But it's such a great movie. It's such an underrated 80s classic. It was probably overshadowed by Red Dawn. Does it say what nationality the other side of the war is?
Oh, no, I'm still looking at the people that are in it. So
anyway, it doesn't really matter.
It has some like bigger names in it, like... You'll recognize him.
Oh, yeah, James Cromwell? I totally forgot
he
was in it. He probably
in
plays
it.
Like an army guy who's like, we're not going in to get him. But it's such an underrated 80s. I've never met anybody else who's ever seen it besides people in my family. It probably did get overshadowed by Red Dawn. It was probably made maybe in the aftermath of Red Dawn. And it's I highly recommend it. But that's one I definitely remember renting. Megaforce, The Rescue, very militaristic films. one thing I
well,
always
keep
remember,
in mind, Murphy did grow up in a military family. So.
Exactly. So maybe that's why a lot of my entertainment was sort of geared that way. I was just drawn to it because one of my favorite things ever, I collected the figurines, of course, but G.I. Joe. I love the G.I. Joe.
To say action figures.
Movie. Oh, yeah, right.
Don't action say figurines.
Figurines, I know. It was the first thing what that popped into my head. Because now they're collectibles, so they're figurines.
No, they're still action figures.
Action. I collected all the action figures. And I would go, I remember renting. The movie, of course, was great. But the only other thing you could rent were, the on VHS, the videos made by, I'm not talking about the Rhino re-releases. I'm going back all the way to FHE, Family Home Entertainment, which owned. Yeah, they owned a lot of cartoons that they put out on video. And I still can hear, like, the synthesizer. It would draw FHE on the screen, like, when you put the video in. It was like, wee, 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 wee.
It's like when Jimmy Fallon does, like, his old, like, 80s videos or something like that.
Oh, does that also have the kind of synthesizer intro? Yeah, so it had, like, the FHE, you know, logo was being drawn on the screen. And when that starts up, like, my hair just starts standing up because I know I'm about to see an amazing
G.I.
Joe.
He's about to see one now, then.
Production, yeah. That's the product. But they own Transformers and stuff. But I was a G.I. Joe guy all the way. I didn't care about Transformers, but FHE did put
see,
up
See, I love Transformers.
Transformers, yeah.
And a listener of ours, Chris Burks, he's obviously obsessed with
Definitely.
Transformers.
These FHE videos, sometimes they were like, they had four episodes on there. Sometimes it was just one. Like, you'd rent a video and it'd be 22 minutes and then that's it.
It's kind of like the things at Walmart where you can get the DVDs and it comes with like four or three movies on it, three or four movies.
Oh, yeah, that. But these were just 22-minute episodes of G.I. Joe. Like, you didn't get... Sometimes they put a whole miniseries on one VHS, but sometimes it was just one episode. So you either got like 90 minutes or you'd get 22 minutes of G.I. Joe. But I didn't care either way. I loved renting those videos from FHE. Let me see. This is kind of an odd one because it wasn't at a store... But my school, I went to George Mason up in Virginia, and in the big major student union called the Johnson Center, one day this thing showed up. Friday it wasn't there, and then I feel like Monday it was. It was a kiosk that rented videos, VHS. Now, this is totally normal these days, as people can go into basically any Kroger or gas station, and there's what? A Redbox, right? Well, this was pre-2003, had to have been, because that's when I graduated.
But wasn't that like when DVDs were starting to...
Yes, okay. Definitely. But I was still on VHS. Like, I didn't have a DVD player till maybe after I graduated college because I was like, man, I'm not going to buy all the same movies. And now guess what? I'm buying them three times because I'm switching over to Blu-ray. But a kiosk showed up and it rented. Maybe it had DVDs, but I definitely didn't have a DVD player in my dorm. So I went ahead and rented, would rent videos from it. And one that I remember renting that, again, is such an underrated movie. It's so funny and the soundtrack is amazing, too, called The Zero Effect. With Bill Pullman and Ben Stiller and Gretchen Mol and Ryan O'Neal. And it's a very, if you love detective movies, if you love movies where you're trying to figure something out, there's a mystery, if you love mystery movies, this is definitely one you have to see. It's about the world's greatest detective played by Bill Pullman, who is very antisocial and has very odd methods. And
I've never seen this.
And Ben Stiller is sort of his liaison to the rest of the world, and Ryan O'Neal hires them to find something. And it's got twists and turns, and it's really, really good.
Sounds like one of Ben Stiller's very first movies.
It was early. It was probably before he was, you know, Mr. Ben Stiller, you know, before he had his own production company well before Tropic Thunder and stuff like that. But it probably came out in the early 2000s, like either 2001 or 2002. And I still catch it on TV, and I love it. It's just so good all the way through, and it's got and you won't figure it out until the end. Like, that's what I love about it. But maybe, I don't know. I didn't figure it out until the end. But that's one that I rented at a kiosk that, again, then it disappeared. Like, one day it was there on Friday. It wasn't there on Friday. It was there on Monday. And then just one day, I guess it just didn't work. One of those things that's ahead of its time. Kind of like Blockbuster. You know, they had a streaming movie service like 10 years before Netflix. I remember getting a phone and I was like, Blockbuster? What the? I'm not going to watch a movie on my phone. And it was just too early for it. People weren't ready for it.
Well, and we didn't have the technology then either. Because I do remember that. And I remember like trying to watch something because we had a Blockbuster. As long as you had a Blockbuster card, you could sign into
this. And
maybe
you got a free movie like for your first thing.
And it was like trying to download a song the first time you did it.
Yeah.
It would sit there and it would like, it took forever. It was like, you got to wait like 2.5 hours before you go and watch this movie.
The last thing I'll mention, that this is one of the last things I rented. And it sort of started a weird... tradition that Sarah and I have, my wife, we once went to a Blockbuster on our anniversary and we rented Elizabethtown that we were going to watch on our anniversary. Cameron Crowe, Orlando Bloom is in it, Kirsten Dunst, and a great sort of, I mean, it's not great, I didn't really care for it, but a romantic comedy that we were going to watch on our anniversary. We also rented Saw because we wanted to see that. You know, obviously a sort of a groundbreaking for the time.
Yeah,
horror
we've
movie.
Talked about that.
Yeah, we just talked about this on our last episode, actually. And Elizabethtown is really long. I think it's over 2 hours. And so it got to the point where we had made dinner and we were going to sit down and watch the movie, but it was too late. I had to get up at like 4 the next day. So Elizabethtown was that long. Saw was like 90 minutes or maybe under. So on our anniversary, we ended up watching Saw instead of this romantic comedy. And so that started the trend of the next anniversary, we rented Saw 2. The next anniversary, we rented a different horror movie. So now every anniversary, we rent a different horror movie.
Well, you guys got enough Saws. You could rent them.
I
for
know,
like,
right?
Yeah.
I think I stopped at Saw 2. But, you know, like a couple anniversaries ago, we rented Cabin in the Woods. Last anniversary, I think we watched Mama, the Guillermo del Toro produced picture that was, okay. But that's sort of, so a rental, you know, a blockbuster, because that's where we got Elizabethtown and Saw from, a blockbuster sort of still plays into a tradition that Sarah and I try to adhere to this day. So that's all I have written down. I'm sure some of this is going to be cut, because I don't know how long Josh was actually looking for. But very sad to see, you know, this sort of, as I said earlier, this sort of communal movie going experience.
Well,
you know,
I want any one of the Justice Geeks guys to like go to this like closing sale.
Yeah.
And like, if there's any awesome movies, buy them.
Yeah, buy them out. If you see Megaforce, please get it for me. I pray to you. If you see Ice Pirates, please get it for me. Life Force.
Not to be mistaken for Ass Pirates or something.
Not that. Not Spice Pirates. Not any of that. Because
you never know. Some blockbusters did. Was it some blockbusters that had the back room?
Like, I don't think blockbusters.
Maybe
ever did.
It was
you had
movie
to,
gallery. Or
you had
something.
To go to an off brand. Yeah, you had to go to one of the other ones to go into the back room because Blockbuster was very.
That's
I don't
right.
think they. I don't think they carried NC-17 or X. Or
I think
anything
it was.
Like
I think it was like movie gallery or one of those like offshoots where they had the adult area. Only.
Yeah, our movie gallery that turned into movie scene did have the back area that, you know, I don't know if I ever went back there because even when I was after the, that's another thing that's disappearing that probably, you know, pervs are very happy about because now they don't have to be seen going back there. Yeah. Because I knew as soon as I went back there, I was going to walk out and it was the night my mom
like
and dad
your teacher
also,
or someone
yeah,
was gonna,
or my
yeah.
teacher or somebody like they were like, oh, we decided to come to the video store too. What's back there? Oh, the bathroom? I don't know. Just kidding. It's my friend. Yes, he did rent Homie in the Haystack. that's a real movie title, by the way, that I know.
Not even going to ask how you know that.
That I know was in the back room of Movie Gallery, which turned into Movie Scene, which is now a mattress store on Route 17 in Yorktown,
Appropriate.
Virginia.
Appropriate.
Yeah. Oh, isn't that interesting? Yeah. So there you go. Thanks to Just Us Geeks for having us on. I heard that was good.com is where you can get all of our links and everything like that. So for I Heard That Was Good, this is Carson Case.
E-B-B.
And this is Tim Murphy saying bye-bye.